This is the breakout session on church planting, partnering to plant. What does that look like? I am Mark DeJay. I'm a teaching elder in the Presbytery of the Alleghenies. I'm a staff resource in our presbytery. One of the things that I help resource is church planting. And then I've gotten connected with the Presbytery of the East, have been involved in church planting. Come on in. Come on in. So as these handouts are going around, I've gotten to be involved in church planting since planting a church in 2010, Soma in downtown Beaver Falls, Western Pennsylvania, Rust Belt, Steel Town. If you were at the plenary yesterday morning, I talked just a little bit about Soma. We won't tell that story today. We're going to tell a little bit of a story about a church plant that Soma is now partnering to plant. So Soma is now part of a partnership of what we'll discuss today called Mosaic Community Church. Mosaic is just about a year old now. And what I'm hoping to do today, come on in, there's still room. What I'm hoping to do today is to share a little bit about the EPC's, how that overall strategy of, you know, you have parenting, partnering, and I always hate saying patronizing because that doesn't sound good, does it? Patroning for church planting. We'll talk a little bit about what that means, but specifically the partnering piece. What does it look like practically to partner in planting with other churches? And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the story of this partnership church plant that started now and the mechanics of it. So the story I'll be sharing is one specific example of what this looks like, kind of from the very first idea of it, seen through now to that church plant in existence about a year into its existence. And I'm hoping in the conversation piece to share this as one example, but kind of like just that benchmark, not as here's what you need to do, but rather what can you take from this story that would be helpful where you are. But all of our situations are unique, and so partnering across the EPC to start new churches is going to look different context to context. And so as a part of us talking here, I'd love to have everyone not introduce yourselves, because that would take a little bit too much time, but rather if I could have maybe two or three people share here what it is in your context that brings you here today. In other words, why is a partnering church planting conversation maybe really appropriate for you right now to be having? What about this conversation is like, I want to be here because this could help me out where we are and what we're doing. Can I have just a couple people share what that looks like where you are? Yeah. Scott, yeah. You can introduce yourself when you raise your hand too.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Scott. I'm a teaching elder in the Pacific Northwest. And we're in Southern Oregon. We have a growing Latin American population. And so we are looking at starting a Spanish language EBC church plant. A wrap. And so probably in the next couple of years is our plan. So I want to
Okay. Great.
You know, how that can inform what we're doing.
Great, great. And then who is the we when you say that? The we that's looking to do that?
Yeah, so Jacksonville Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Okay.
And so I'm the missions pastor.
Gotcha.
And so we're kind of working myself and our lead pastor with a guy in Idaho, Doug Sortina.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
so very good.
Bring a guy from the Presbyterian Church in Mexico.
Okay, very good. And then do you have other EPC churches in proximity to your church? I know Florida Caribbean is pretty spread out as a presbytery.
Yeah, well, we're in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We have one in close proximity. There's a couple within a few hours.
So okay.
Portland's about 4.5 hours away.
Okay, and has there been conversation about those proximity churches being a part of this as a partnership, kind of the connection here?
Not yet, because we're just starting.
Gotcha,
yeah,
great.
They will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of what we're talking about here today. Excellent. Great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I saw Jacksonville. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought Florida, but it's Oregon. Thank
yes.
you for that.
Yeah,
not Oregon, Oregon. Got it. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly.
Andrea Hayes from New Albany Presbyterian.
Yeah.
And the last couple of years, we've been partnering with Hope for Renewal.
Yes.
And we love working with them, and we're excited to see them establishing. But I feel like in our session, people feel like, oh, church giving. We've checked the box on that. So I want to talk about what's next for us? How can we keep moving forward?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and so Hope for Renewal, that's another, in the Alleghenies, that's a church plant that started about 8 years ago out of a partnership relationship. So an existing network, pastors network, the church is represented, came together, said, let's do this. We won't do the mechanics of that partnership today, but that's another example of a partnership creating a plant that's up and running right now. And I know one of the challenges that a lot of our congregations would face is our presbytery in the Alleghenies, the density of churches is Pittsburgh area. By the time you get out to Columbus, how many EPC churches are within spitting distance? Yeah, just the ones. Yeah, so then how does partnership work? What are the challenges to that? Super important to consider. Yeah, can I get one more? Yeah.
I'm Rosie Farrell. Rosie. I'm a ruling elder from Sinai Presbyterian Church down outside the Charlotte area. And for me being here, we're a very old established church in a rural, or it was rural, it's not rural anymore, outside Charlotte. And we're a very inward focused facing church, so we have a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people in our church that really have gravitated toward the Great Commission and our call on that.
Yeah.
And so church planting is very new, probably a very scary concept to some of our members, but a very important one.
Yeah.
And so, to me, just information gathering, beginning that process of prayer and how to take that back to our congregation.
That's fantastic. And just as a word of encouragement to you, the church that I planted, Soma, I was hired in 2009 to begin that journey through that church. That church is a 225-year-old Presbyterian church. Had never done that before. Their senior pastor, who at the time had been there for 12 years, had previously planted a church and had been planting the seeds of church planting his whole time. Had a 4-year intentional process of discerning with the session.
Well, and as a side note, our pastor of 29 years died a year and a half ago, so we have an awesome transitional pastor who knew our old pastor. So our church is in a lot of, to me, exciting opportunities to see what the Lord's doing. To some of our members, it's a very scary process.
Yeah.
So having, you know, navigating that.
And finishing my word of encouragement to you. So when I came on for our first church plant out of this church, First Presbyterian Church, very anxious thing. In a willingness, but kind of a lot of the unanswered and not sure. By the time it came for this next one in a partnership, it was like, of course, why are we talking about this? Right? And so you do that hard work up front, and then the fruitfulness means that you can continue to do this kind of thing, maybe even in different ways. So that's fantastic. Okay, so in the interest of time, I do want to move on to a little bit of the overview. When we talk about, again, this is just defining the terms, church planting in the EPC, there's a document that you should have there. And this is the one that says parent, partner, and patron in introduction. So this is a way to say every church is in some way participating in the work of church planting. A parent relationship with the church plant, really simply, is when a single church takes full responsibility to plant a new church. Right? So what First Presbyterian Church in Beaver did for Soma, the church that I planted in 2010, was a parent-daughter relationship. Right. They took full responsibility, hired me, took on all of that, everything logistically, accounting-wise, all of it came from them. A patron, real kind of, again, real simply, a patron relationship is you are giving financially to this church, right? So you're praying for, but you're also contributing in some way. Hey, guys, come on in. Oh, we got more teachers here. That's great. These folks would know a lot of what to do. The reality is the number of our congregations in the EPC who realistically are going to take on the full responsibility for planting a daughter church, we do not have a lot of large churches in the EPC, right? So for example, in the Alleghenies, overwhelmingly the number of churches we have are 70 and lower. A handful between that 70 and 150, just a couple 150 to 300, and then just a few 300 and up, right? No church that's over 1,000 right now. So the number of churches in the Alleghenies, our largest presbytery, 74 churches, the number who can realistically parent a church plant I shouldn't say realistically, because there's creative ways to do it, but in terms of all of the attention you give to it, realistically, they're going to take that on. You're talking about probably three churches. But if we want all of our churches to be invested, not simply giving money, what a great first step. But there's a discipleship that happens with our churches when they're actually participating more deeply. And so partnering then. Partnering is to say, we're going to join forces, join resources, share energy, share responsibility for together seeding a new community of faith, right? So that's the one that we're really focusing on here today. So kind of like I teach college classes, I'm going to do the thing. If you're in the wrong room today, we're going to close our eyes and you can go to one of the other sessions. Is that appropriate for why you're here today? You're interested in that partnership conversation? Great. Okay. And then a second document there, an architecture to encourage church planting. The three P's has been around for a while. This is new. This is something Tom Rick, since he's come into his role as National Director of Church Planting, has put together. This is like overall in the EPC, kind of the layers to support this work. And so what's being developed right now are these regional directors. And so everything we're talking about here today, feel free to follow up with me personally in this conversation if you find it helpful. As we move forward, we're going to hope to have these regional directors in place to be your go-to people to help support you. So when you say, we want to partner together to plant a church, you can immediately contact. You have someone resource-wise in the EPC to start to facilitate that conversation. But for now, feel free to reach out to me, and I'd love to talk with you more about it. I had mentioned Hope for Renewal in the Alleghenies coming out of a partnership. And then Mosaic Community Church. This is our newest church plant, along with, it's really at the same time as Bridge City Church in Cleveland. So if you were here yesterday morning and heard Pastor Keon Abner, who presented with me in the morning, he's the planting pastor of Bridge City in Cleveland. That's a parent-daughter relationship. They are partnering with an eco church, but Bay Prez is really doing all of the logistical piece, administrative piece. They're really kind of serving as a parent in the EPC system. So partnering then, can I just kind of walk you through a little bit of what that journey has looked like for Mosaic? And then we can do some back and forth on what applies, what doesn't apply in your situation. So, like I said, Mosaic has been worshiping together for about a year now. The conversation for Mosaic started back in 2015. So an existing network of pastors in our presbytery, made up of five congregations. The Presbytery of the Alleghenies, and I'm so aware that this is a place where there might be difference between our situation and many of our presbyteries. History of Presbyterianism, Presbyterians, when they got here with a bunch of the other European folks, started going west. Presbyterians got to Pittsburgh and said, this looks nice, and they started building buildings. And then everyone else who kept going west, Presbyterians said, we're good right here. And so, huge density of Presbyterianism in Western Pennsylvania. And so our 74 congregations were still geographically really small. So some of the partnership conversation, just by virtue of that proximity that churches have to each other, there's a bit of a practical facility to that. That show of hands, who would say you have 10 EPC churches within easy driving distance of your church? Yeah, notice most of the hands are not up in the room, right? So that's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a reality. Not insurmountable, can get creative. But for our situation here, a number of EPC churches, so we had these networks that we had established in our presbytery of pastors gathering just to support each other, encourage each other. Out of this network, which had been meeting for a couple of years, there was the idea of, what if we, together, planted a church? Part of what made this feasible in our imaginations is that First Presbyterian Church, Beaver, the parent church of Soma, had already planted a church all by itself. So the conversation was, does FPC want to plant a church, or can FPC essentially kind of share the wealth and invite these other churches to join in that work? One of them being its own daughter church. So this is the way Soma, from its outset, said, we want to plant churches too. Soma is never going to be a parent church of a more kind of typical church all by itself, but we can partner with another. So one of the kind of premises or principles that might be helpful is to think, if you're going to partner, it's probably most helpful to imagine you have an anchor congregation who is going to be maybe a little bit larger, a little bit more administratively set up. And so FPC was the church that ended up taking on the responsibility for employing this person, for doing all that payroll stuff, for taking care of the benefits, for doing all of that. There's different ways to do that, but having an anchor congregation, especially one that has some professional capacity to do that, while the other churches are giving into, for example, that budget, giving into with prayer support and people support, but trying to find a way to not necessarily spread out for the planter's sake, where's your money coming from? Right, so in this case, having four partner churches who are involved as partners, it's not like everyone's giving a quarter of their salary directly to them. You can see how practically that would be really problematic for the church planter, right? So just having practical ways like that to do it. So FPC, as what became the anchor partner, we started a conversation. It was kind of neat how we started it. There was a ruling elder who was a part of one of these churches. This is before the church plan ever came up. And he works in the restaurant industry. And he said, I think I might want to start a church, especially for folks in the restaurant industry. He said, because if you work in the, anyone work in hospitality or know people who do? Yeah. So is Sundays a good time to go somewhere if you're in the hospitality industry? No. And that was his point. Even a Sunday evening service, it's just hard. He said, but Tuesday evenings. He said, Tuesday evenings in our industry tends to be a lot more of an open time. So his hope was to continue working in hospitality, but then become ordained to plant a church specifically for folks in the restaurant industry. And we thought, that is so cool. So we started that conversation. This person went to assessment, and this is how assessment's supposed to work. He went to assessment and they discerned together he's not actually a church planter. So he is now actually a pastor of another church in our presbytery, and that church just gave a significant gift to this church because he cares about church planting and he's trying to get them through starting with patroning to eventually become a partner in church planting. So you see how the conversations can be really fruitful even down the line. So that's how the conversation started. It wasn't going to do the restaurant church. Do we still want to plant a church? And the answer was, yeah, we still think that's a conversation worth having. And so what we ended up doing in 2016, this network of pastors said, hey, let's, it was a really informal network, but we said, let's officially say we're all in on this to start the congregation with our individual sessions. And so each pastor went back to their session and shared, we don't have this all figured out. Are we as a church willing to enter into a conversation with these four other EPC churches in our network about joining together to plant a church? So another kind of principle is just take it one step at a time. If your idea is to start a conversation about partnering to plant, and 6 months from now you've got a planting pastor, most likely that's not going to be real helpful. Right? Even if you could plow it through, how much investment are you really picking up along the way? So one of the lessons in the story is the challenge of soliciting and then keeping investment from all of the churches involved. Take the challenges of one church, multiply that by however many churches you end up in your partnership, right? And that's the potential for miscommunication. That's the potential for apathy to set in. And all these things end up being a part of Mosaic's story. Mosaic's story is not 2015. We started talking and then, boy, it's only ever been this. It's reality. So it's kind of fits and starts learning lessons along the way. So going at a deliberate pace, but getting buy-in every step of the way, right? So that first conversation with sessions, are we willing to have a conversation about this together? When all the sessions signed on of these five churches at the time, and they said, yep, we're willing to have that conversation, we prepared basically an informational meeting for all of those sessions to get together. Is that ever hard to coordinate a meeting with your elders? Again, multiply by five in this case, right? So that was one of those, like, the fleece moment, right? Like, Lord, if this is of you, we will find a time that works for all five. And we did. And we did. And so we brought everyone together. And again, we were not laying out, here's the entire plan. We were laying out, here's the dream. Here's the dream. And what we did when we did that is we took them for that meeting to SOMA. We took them to the plant, the church plant, that at that time was 5 years old, took them to the space we were in, had people from SOMA tell their own story of what it's meant for them. So we're not having the conversation kind of at the abstract level or the technical level or the strategic level. That's important, but you start with the people. Start with the story. So if you can find aspirational examples of church plants to really like get people excited about this before laying out all the practical steps, that's another piece. And that helps from the beginning set the tone that what's most important is the story, is the gospel, is the people, people coming to faith in Christ, the kingdom being demonstrated. We're gonna then create structure to support that story. We're not gonna make it about the church plant as an organization. Does that make sense? So every step of the way, especially at the beginning, setting the tone for that. So we had all those session members come, we cast this vision, and how do you think we left that meeting? Do you think we said, okay, are we planning a church together? No, what did we say?
Let's pray.
Let's pray. So we prayed in the meeting. Can we pray between now and your next time getting together? And what we're asking, are we willing to take another step together? Are we willing to just take another step? And the way that we laid this out in terms of the steps that we were taking is we're going to start with why. So we're going to put together a team of people. If you're agreeing to say yes to this, you're going to give a representative from your session body. And so your teaching elder, so whatever your prime teaching elder is, if you're a multi-staff church, senior pastor, if not solo pastor, teaching elder, and then at least one ruling elder, come on in. At least one ruling elder is going to be a part of, at the time we called it it wasn't yet the oversight team, it wasn't the steering team, this isn't important, but it was just the kind of like the dreaming team, right? And what we said, give us two people from each of those congregations, and we're going to put together a process of discerning. And what we put together was we're going to start answering the why question, the why of why we should plant the new church. Are there really great reasons to plant a church? Absolutely, yeah. And what do those have to do with? The Great Commission. What was that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, yeah. Yeah, why else? The kingdom of God, people coming to faith in Christ, right? All these. Are there bad reasons to plant churches? Yeah, yeah. Your motivation is going to dictate your direction. What are some bad reasons to plant churches?
Can't find a good church.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So just like, man, all these churches stink. I'm going to make one for me. Yeah. So a preference, just feeding preference, right? Going and getting other Christians who are disgruntled, right? Horrible reason to plant a church. That's right. They're stealing sheep. Yeah. Yeah. Let's expand the footprint of the EPC. I don't mind more EPC churches, but this thing is way bigger than the EPC, right? So you could think, we did these exercises together. What are the wrong reasons? And then what are the right reasons? Let's go to scripture. Let's learn from others. What are the right reasons? And we spent time together in that group over a period of months establishing, here's our statement of the why of church planting. So you have another document that's here on the chair with you. And I'll reference this as we go. This is what we ended up at the end of this season of why and then how, which was process, and then the what of the practicals of the plant. This was a meeting we had several years later that was the fruit of those conversations, just a simple couple of statements for the elders to then consider. So that first question of why, we came up with that why statement. So a statement on the purpose of local congregations. So this is a pretty broad ecclesiological statement. Right, and this is just to center, here is what churches exist for. And then we talked about those core values. And so the why of church planting is going to connect with each of these values. Now you'll notice these are not super particular to one kind of church. We tried to be generally ecclesiological. The thought behind that was we want to give a lot of freedom to whomever ends up coming to lead this church plant. So if we got really specific on the outset with every particular detail, we're going to really limit who we could connect with to be that planter as they try to give it actual, like more contextual shape. Does that make sense? And so this is something, but feel free to quibble with the specific wording, but in general, like this is what it means to be a faithful church in the EPC generally, and then a specific person to come in and take those next steps. Yeah, you had some. Go ahead, Luke.
On that point,
yeah.
So does the church plant conversation generally start before there's leadership with a vision for an area. So on your case, was we churches collectively would like to see a plan for God is leading us to this area, this kind of maybe niche, or was there a leader already, church planter, who was kind of bringing the vision to the people?
Yeah, Tom.
Since we started a little bit late, we're going to go short on the first hour and then be back on schedule on the...
Are we?
Starting on the second hour.
Okay.
That's how we're going to kind
of... Tom, I'm not going to disappoint these people. I'm not going to do it. When you close that door, I can't tell you what happens. I'm going to lock it when you go, okay? All right, Tom. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so Luke, great question. And what's the answer? Yes, kind of whatever your starting point is, right? So I'd encourage, even if you have that person, that you're making it more of a shared conversation so that, again, there's that deeper investment from people along the way, right? A lot you can get into of the power of charisma to kind of get people excited, but then there's a liability to that charisma too if there's not a lot of faithfulness and discerning as you're moving up to that point. That's just experience being one and working with church planters. So the why of church planting then gave way to, we took that conversation about why, we brought it back to the sessions. And we said, can you pray on this? And next month, let's come back. And if we say, let's keep moving forward and taking the next step, we will. So that was like 6 months between the beginning of the why conversation to the vote to say, yep, we're all moving forward together. Everyone voted, let's take another step together. Then we moved into the how conversation. And when we talk about the how conversation, if you turn the page there, this is going to give some of what came out of that. But some of those things about how... Bum, bum, sorry, let me just pull this here. This is process. This is like process kind of conversation. So how are we going to see this plant start to make the decisions to become a reality? And so some of those questions that you would ask about bringing in a church planter, practically, what are some of the questions if you're starting with the place? If you imagine a church planting, you have a place, and then you have a person or people, and then you have like the funding that you need to do it. By the way, every step along the way, when churches said yes to this, they were committing to start to give money into what we called a seed fund, right? So part of the benefit of this long period of time of really trying to lay good groundwork, we're also building up some funding initially, right? Practically, the anchor church, much bigger budget than the others, and took on much more of the financial responsibility. The other churches also giving what they can into it. But you're starting to build up funding for when that person is in place. So the kinds of questions that we ask during that time for the church planter themselves, is this going to be someone who is paid full-time to be a church planter? The conversation around planting, context is going to dictate a lot of things, but we had the conversation of, do we want this to be a bivocational or co-vocational person? And so they know up front that when you're coming in, you're coming to find other employment while you're doing this work as well. Do we want to partner with another organization like the Coalition for Christian Outreach? Find creative ways to, because we already have a relationship with that organization, for example, to have a planter also working for another ministry nonprofit to facilitate that work. Do we want this to be a full-time call? And we had lots of conversation, did a lot of reading, learning from others, and decided for this, we wanted to do a full-time call. And then the conversation of, okay, a full-time call, so how does that start for them? Right, you're coming into a new place. Western Pennsylvania, anyone ever lived there? Not the easy, yeah? Well, certain parts, not where we live, but not the easiest place to not be from, right? Very, very, the relationships are established. So kind of breaking in, we're not going to expect that person to show up and automatically gather a whole bunch of people. We learned from my experience with Soma. I got there in July of 2009. By January 2010, we were worshiping together. And God was good and gracious, but we said, let's not do that again in quite that way, because we had a hard time getting people. And so we said, the first year is going to be a residency year for this person. And when we say residency, your job is just to connect with the local churches. Spend your Sunday mornings there. Yeah?
Did you pick location already at this point?
At this point, we had not yet picked the location. Okay. Okay. We were on the way to discerning that. So that conversation was happening at the same time. How do we want to bring this person in? And then also, where is it to which we're being called?
So you didn't let the planter have any say in the location?
And just for the sake of time, we will fast forward to answer that question. So if you look at the document, you'll notice location. There was a cracker plant. If you know anything about natural gas and how all that works, you'll know what that means. If not, we won't explain it right now. Really big deal in Little Beaver County, Pennsylvania. Fourth largest company in the world at that time coming in to put one of these big things right here. That was going to represent some shifts. Population shift, demographic shift with new people coming in. And so we said, this is an opportunity for this specific group. So do we target, I don't like to say target, in church planning, because why? You shoot at targets, right? So let's not do that. How about focus? Are we going to focus specifically on this group of transient workers? We said, no, we're not going to focus just on them, but they're certainly a part of the consideration. What we came up with here was, let's have a focus to a degree, but also give freedom for this new person to come in, build a team, and have them together discern what community they're going to specifically engage with. That was one of the lessons we learned with Soma. Soma, the church I planted, did that accidentally, right? We said, we're going to start over here and then figured out like, oh, we need a more focused community. Had a season of discerning together specifically where we're going to be, which was Beaver Falls. And that season ended up being the biggest catalyzer of community in our church to get us started on the right foot. So we said, let's do the same thing here on purpose. Let's give a general area, and in this area, you can't see them. All of our churches have a proximity to this area, this 8-mile radius, that people would be able to go from the planting churches to be a part of the church plant, right? So that's general enough for that, but then specifically. And so what Mosaic has done is they have focused in on the community of New Brighton, and then they're looking specifically for the part of New Brighton now where they're going to be. So they've been doing that discerning. They're still on like the soft launch specifying that. But that they're doing together. We didn't tell them specifically, here's where you're gonna go. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all part of the process. And then you'll notice there the funding plan, right? So we were figuring all this out during that how time and then brought the sessions back together and said, okay, let's take the next step. Do we feel like we can take the next step? And then began the process from there. I wanna make sure I got all these here. So figuring things out like I said, how do you compensate that pastor? What's the relationship going to be like to the existing churches? We had the conversation of, do we want this to be a sister plant? So because we already had Soma, which was a new church, that maybe they're sharing pastoral resource together. So this planter can be doing some part-time with Soma, while Soma's pastor, me at the time, could do some part-time with Mosaic to kind of make it not one person. And so we had that conversation and decided to just make Mosaic, it's a solo plant in relationship with the network. But all of these were things that we were praying together, this team of people, and then soliciting input from others we trusted, reading resources, having broader conversations. Moving forward, these regional coordinators in the EPC, we'd love for them to be people you can have these conversations with too. We didn't have that yet in the EPC, so we want to be able to resource you if you want to have those conversations. We ended up getting to the point where we had this document to share, condensing all the work down together. Now, the pastors had been updating. Ideally, it was going to be on a monthly basis. It didn't always turn out monthly, but was updating every step along the way. So it's not like the only time the sessions heard anything about this was when we had a big meeting together, right? So praying, processing, giving input into, because again, you want the investment of the churches. And then it came time, we brought everyone back together at Soma again. And by this time, so remember when we started the conversation was 2015, and then 2018 is when we had the full plan to share. Brought the sessions back together and said, let's have a time to pray together. Let's have a time to discern together. Do we want to move forward with this work? And they decided yes. Yeah.
At any point, did you have like a written agreement for how the partnership would work?
Yeah.
Like what was expected of every church?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yep. So, and is that on here? If not, it's on another document that I have that I apologize for not printing out. Yep. Bum-bum.
Even in terms of like how decisions get made?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so we ended up, and there's not one right way to do this, we ended up putting together what we call an oversight team. So we checked with the Polity Police to make sure that this worked and it was okay. Rather than have this person go to each session individually, we had a teaching elder and a ruling elder from each church, different from this original dreaming team, but still the teaching elder, new ruling elders, who became like a function of the sessions of each of those churches. And so, and that team still exists today. And so we gather on a regular basis. And we essentially provide that umbrella covering, representing our four partner churches now, for that group. Now, they can still report back to the session. Ultimately, any of those sessions could raise an issue that we have to consider, but we have that oversight team serving as that umbrella for the church plan. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yes, and then each church, as a part of this partnership, is required for to pray, certainly to pray, to give financially, and to give people. Which of those do you think is the hardest? It really, really is. And so fast forward, had this conversation, and we really tried to, up front, here's the cost. We're not trying to like sell people and say, please get in the game, so every step of the way, but then when it was time to decide if you're in or not, we made it real clear. When we say prayer, we mean it. When we say finances, we mean it. And when we say people, we mean it. Please tell your best people to go and be a part of this church plan. Please don't hold back if someone you really like wants to be a part of the church plan. This is part of the discipleship of the existing church, right? And so as a result of this, those five churches that had taken all these steps, four of them said yes. One counted the cost and wonderfully said, we don't think we can do that. Now, they're still a patron of the church. They give financially, so they're still contributing, but they didn't say yes when they couldn't follow through. You want that. In the partnerships, you want that. It's all the steps in discerning. It's a little disappointing up front, but man, you'd rather deal with it then than later on down the road.
Well, because it's double hit financially for the church, right? Because the church is giving, is raising money, putting seed money, and they're doing that as a patron. Yeah. But then if they're part of the congregation goes, especially if they're very active, then now they're going to be given to the new church.
Yep. Yeah.
Unless you're going to ask them to give to two churches.
Yeah. You know, so. Right. Right. Yep. Yep. And there's so many more details of it that I'm not sharing here. Over-communicating up front, as much as is possible, being really clear, because you have four churches. Stuff gets confusing in your one church, doesn't it? Yeah. And so there's another hand up here, back here, by the way. Did I miss that? Okay. Part of the story of Mosaic also is the four churches said, yes, let's go. We put together a PNC. We had this information, a church information form we put together. We put it out there. We started interviews. We had our candidate, and we had our candidate in February of 2020. Right. So then everything comes down. Hadn't yet made the hire. Hadn't yet made the move, thankfully, at that time. And then everything stops. That group of people, after everyone's trying to figure out which way is up, which way is down, we came back and said, okay, where are we at with this? And then kind of the three choices that we had to make was, do we say, let's stop, let's wait, or let's continue to move forward, right? So individually, what do you think we did? Each of the sessions had that conversation separately, came back together, and everyone said, let's keep moving forward. And so we did ended up hiring the church planting pastor and his family, Eric Prinky, his wife Hope, their daughter Glory Joy. They actually moved from Colorado. I wasn't thinking of that until just now. They were serving at an E-Free church here. And so he went through the process then to first be commissioned and then fully ordained as a teaching elder in the EPC. And they are at work planting Mosaic. But the conversations underneath and behind the scenes, right, starting all the way back in 2015, and then trying to communicate clearly every step of the way, being intentional, not hasty, but having a sense of urgency to get to the place where here's the plan for moving forward. So one of the things I'd like to share, not yet, oh man. All right, I'll stop there. There were a lot of other pieces to this too in terms of things that we were trying to plan well for and yet still were challenges that we're dealing with. One of those being the investment of each of the churches. One of the partner churches had said, yes, let's go, had a really difficult pastoral transition that really the church is still trying to recover from. That church has not been able to fully invest in the way that they were wanting to initially. And that's been hard. That's been difficult. The people piece, boy, coming out of COVID, if it was already hard to say we're going to let go of people, that's been a challenge. That's been a real challenge in ways that we anticipated to some degree, but not to this degree. That's been a challenge. And so Mosaic, about a year in now, discerning this that specific place, has about 40 people who are part of the worshiping community, committed to the Great Commission, to the kingdom of God in that local place. Good things are happening, but it's been a challenge. Even with all that planning and preparation, one of the things we learned from this is next time, as much as we tried to communicate, we'd communicate even more, right? Even more directly, having the planting pastor, when he comes, up front as much as possible at these churches, right? So every week at one of the churches up front, if you're in a proximity to be able to do that. So the communication piece, and then so kind of the plan and adapt, right? Make a good plan, but then be willing to pivot and adapt, so important. So let me ask this, in terms of this story, Mosaic story, what of this do you think would connect and be helpful where you are in terms of having conversation about partnering? What are the things that are so different from this context and situation that you would have to think very differently? So for example, the proximity piece, number of location of the churches, I know that's one. Yeah, back here.
What if you were referring to a plant, and it was planting a plant upstairs, like you're in a transition in terms of demographics, right?
Yeah.
And the people that are coming in have complete design.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be more, you want to get a partner with the churches. Well, it's ways away, okay?
Yeah.
Because I was just on a larger. But the thing is that you're dealing with a group of people that speak a foreign language, okay, or another language. And the people in your congregation don't speak that language.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. How would you handle that?
Yeah. In that case, need to be a ton of cultural intelligence, cross-cultural competency training. And I would say, unless you had anchor partnerships, even if they're not EPC, who are a part of that community already, who do speak that language and know that culture, you shouldn't try and do it without that. So if you remember Keon's story, Pastor Keon's story, right? Bay Prez, which is our biggest church, very suburban outside Cleveland, and then the community they planted in, the New Life at Calvary, the Eco Church, that's a church kind of already of that community. And so Bay has been able to defer a lot to New Life at Calvary for that component of it, right? As an inner city church versus a suburban church. My encouragement would be, don't try to bring all of those other context culture churches to step in without the anchor relationships that are asking for that and inviting that in. Yeah, yeah, because it's frustrating anyway, is on the church planting side, let alone frustrating the context by that lack of ability to communicate.
Well, this would be kind of like a parent church, establishing a church that would be for those people, you know, in the same area.
Yeah, okay.
And the people in that parent church.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you need to have that anchor relationship in there that's inviting the presence of the church plant, rather than the church here saying we should go do this without that invitation from that community. That's always going to be my disposition there, if that makes sense. Yeah. One more question or comment here.
Well,
yeah.
What's beautiful about this is my husband and I are scratch planters.
Yeah.
This solves the scratch planting problem and
yeah.
It creates the mother system.
Does everyone know what scratch plant means, by the way?
Where you parachute into a new city where there's no other EPC church or connection.
Yeah.
My husband and I have done that 3 times. And so this answers that problem. I'm working on a network, a region
yep.
in the Mid-Atlantic.
Northampton.
And
yep.
I've had this vision, so I can't believe we haven't talked about this.
Let's talk about this.
But to repeat this is so transferable and repeatable.
Yeah.
To even take some portions of it. We're praying for new cities.
Yeah.
What does it look like in new cities?
Yep.
I mean, it's just this is brilliant.
Okay, let's talk. Let's definitely connect. That's great. Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you so much.